Your love deserves a ring as unforgettable as the moment you propose. Select a Tacori engagement ring with signature design and unmatched beauty. At Mervis Diamond Importers, we are the premier source for Tacori and the world's finest diamonds. Let our experts guide you in finding the perfect symbol of your forever. Mervis means more diamonds, better quality, and the most value. Mervis Diamond Importers, DC's first choice for Tacori, engagement and wedding rings, and the best diamonds. MervisDiamond.com or 800-HER-LOVE.
On the radio, Mark Morano is the man. You know what? Former senior staff member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, publisher of ClimateDepot.com, author of The Great Reset, way ahead of his time with that book, Global Elites and the Permanent Lockdown. Mark, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. How are you, my friend?
Thank you, Joe. I'm doing great. Appreciate it.
I was thinking about you. I just saw a clip. Something popped up on X, and it's Al Gore saying the polar caps are going to melt, you know, five. And this was like 2007 or something, man. And he goes, you know, by 2019, it's good. There will be no snow in the North Pole. I mean, and he just keeps on blabbing about that, does he not?
Yes, in fact, he came out, I guess, last week. It's the 20th anniversary of his release of his film, An Inconvenient Truth. He's come out and said that all his predictions have either come true or are coming true, which is absurd because you can go from A to Z. The snow is a Kilimanjaro, polar bears, Florida underwater. Yeah. By the way, polar bears are disappearing, but only from Al Gore's books and movies. He removed them from his sequel in 2017 and his sequel book because why? They've never counted as many. Polar bears are thriving. U.S. Geologic Survey says there's more. They're at or near historic population highs. So that's how you get rid of polar bears, by having too many and not talking about them anymore. So it's amazing. But Al Gore still goes out there, still promotes all the fear. It's kind of like the guy that died, Paul Ehrlich. He had the overpopulation theory all those decades, the population bomb 1968 was on right. Johnny Carson for decades, predicted everything wrong. You know what his final, he lived to like 93, his final answer was, well, things still have time to come true. So you're never wrong with a prediction because it could always come true. So if you tell someone you're going to die, yeah, you're going to be right one day. That person's going to die. So that's where they learned, but you know they did put a lot of deadlines on things, and then just like a street preacher, when the deadline passes, they cross it out and put a new one on.
Wow! Listen, hey, you know, by the way, congratulations! You got to present the keynote speech at the 16th International Conference on Climate Change. This is congratulations. Tell us about that, Mark. That's a big thing, man.
Yes, it was. It was actually Lee Zeldin gave the opening keynote to this conference in Washington, D.C., historic Hotel Washington, just steps from the White House.
Yeah.
And Lee Zeldin gave a victory speech as the EPA chief. He said this is a day of vindication. We should all be celebrating. And he's absolutely right. Trump 2.0 has done things Trump 1.0 didn't even contemplate in terms of dismantling the agenda. He was greeted like a rock star at the conference. The only scary part was there's talk of him going over to Justice to replace Pam Bondi, or at least there was last week. I don't think that's going to happen. And so I talked to Politico, who was there, and I said, no, the last thing we wanted, we do not want to lose him at EPA. He's only been there a year. We need at least another year or two out of him before he goes somewhere else. He's so competent. But, I gave a keynote later, and my keynote was the closing keynote to this conference. And guess what? I thanked one man, besides Lee Zeldin and Donald Trump and Chris Wright, one of the men instrumental in this climate, dismantling the climate agenda. Who do you think I thanked? And I asked the audience to guess. No one could guess. It was none other than, drum roll, please, Anthony Fauci. And I went through the details. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. And it's one simple reason, Joe, and if this is the truth, and the audience was blown away by this. They ate it up. I had a lot of fun with this. Yeah. He destroyed appeals to authority and trust in the experts.
Wow.
And once that was destroyed, there's no way anyone could do an appeal to authority on climate after what happened in COVID and the lockdowns and all the scientific lies. In fact, I use Joe Rogan as a case study. Mm. Pre-COVID, Joe Rogan would have a climate skeptic on and refer to the NASA website to prove the skeptic wrong. He was a big believer. Post-COVID, Joe Rogan is the biggest climate skeptic you have, interviewing, you know, MIT scientists, NASA scientists. You know, every time he has a chance, he goes after Bernie Sanders and shows him the data. But this was some, that was an example of just how you can no longer appeal to authority. So that's, I do thank you, Dr. Fauci. I also went through just how Donald Trump has just point by point dismantled the whole agenda with nary a pushback. In fact, the billionaires who funded it have now joined Donald Trump, from Bloomberg to Bill Gates, because they want to profit off of AI. So AI is not compatible with climate net zero policy.
What a brilliant take for a speech. What a, that's an absolute bit how the COVID hysteria kills off the climate hysteria. That's absolutely brilliant. Hey, but you know what, Mark Morano, and Lee Zeldin's great, the best of Long Island, a great guy. We wanted him to be governor, just missed, although he turned a lot of New York red, he did. And now, I don't know if he's going to the Department of Justice, but Lee's a great guy, and we appreciate your fight as well. And we congratulate you on that speech, but God forbid the midterms glitch, and they always do. It's not just, has nothing to do with who's in office. It just happens, and everybody goes against the party in power. Oy, don't tell me. Are we going to have to hear these people again lying to us about the climate and everything else after November? I hope not.
Great question. In fact, I have a phone call at 10 o'clock, a strategy work session where I'm going to actually go through and, I guess you would say, war game. What happens if Democrats win big and then in 2028 we have a President Gavin Newsom with AOC as the vice president? Ugh. And we're actually going to go through on how they would go about resurrecting this climate nonsense.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Lee Zeldin, most consequential EPA chief in the agency's history, started by Richard Nixon in the early 1970s. What Trump is trying to do is a 1-2 punch that will make it very difficult for a future climate activist president. He took us out of the UN 1992 Earth Summit Treaty, which was the bottom Jenga block, and that would require Gavin Newsom to sign a new UN treaty and get Senate ratification to get us back in. And if Lee Zeldin is successful, and I say if because there's a lot of court cases ultimately ending in the Supreme Court, if he's successful getting rid of this regulating carbon dioxide as a pollutant under the Clean Air Act for mid-level bureaucrats with, you know, unelected bureaucrats in the middle of the government can just start regulating all actions of our economy. If he's successful in getting rid of that and gets Supreme Court to rule that the government has no authority unless they pass legislation to regulate CO2 as a pollutant, then that's another step. So it's a 1-2 step of permanence. That's what we have to do. He does have the UN under control, Trump, and now we got to work on this. That's why Zeldin can't go anywhere, because they got to go through legal challenges and regulatory framework to get rid of this domestic framework of climate. But you're absolutely right. If they do win, if there's a big sweep in the midterms, and if Gavin Newsom or some similar Democrat is elected, we are back, at least rhetorically. But what we need to do is we need the Trump administration to squeeze them by the gonad so that they can't ever resurrect this again. And that's what I think Lee Zeldin and Donald Trump and Chris Wright are doing. But again, we've done about 50%. We got to make it permanent. It could take another year or two to get this permanent. And if we get a bad court ruling, then we don't have that permanence on the CO2. So, you know, they could always resurrect themselves. But the good news is the billionaires aren't really that interested, because they want to make money off of AI data centers. And they've already admitted, Larry Fink came out, you can't run data centers on solar and wind. So they know that they know it's a con, but, you know, that doesn't stop the rhetoric. They're going to have to merge climate into public health is what I predicted in my speech.
Wow. Great speech indeed. Mark Morano, great job. Thanks for joining us, Mark. Keep up the great work. Keep us posted if you would, sir.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mark Morano right there from climatedepot.com. Again, worth the reread is a book that Mark wrote called The Great Reset. Joe on the radio.
As a trusted public sector technology provider, 4 Inc. makes it easier for government teams to procure, modernize, and operate with confidence. Through IBM and its strategic acquisitions such as Red Hat, HashiCorp, Confluent, and Apptio, 4 Inc. brings together the capabilities agencies need to deliver measurable results. From AI and automation to observability, data management, and storage and power, we help mission leaders improve outcomes, strengthen resilience, and advance their objectives faster. Learn more at 4inc.com/IBM info.